Rolling on here, second hour of Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3 at the City Place Studios in downtown West Palm Beach. Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo, Christian Catt, of course, behind the glass. October baseball is here. Packed slate of wild card series is game twos. First pitch is all throughout today. Houston, Detroit in a tight one. Josh Hader at the mound for Houston. Man on first and second. Two out, 3-0 count. Torkelson. See what Josh Hader does here. It's high. He's walking a guy. Bases loaded. Top eight. Detroit tied 2-2. I can't do any play-by-play. I'm going to break some rules here. But that's what's going on in Detroit and Houston. Good matchup there. A great finish. Detroit, of course, escaped. We'll see what they can do now. Bases loaded. Two outs against Joshy Boy Hader. C-Cat, how you doing today? Welcome to the program.
Doing pretty good. Thanks for the invite, guys. Having a great time through hour one. Making an even better hour two. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, hey, you were quick like a cat on that dump button. We appreciate it.
Hey, no problem. Got to defend the shield.
Quick like a cat.
This company means a lot to me. Anyone puts it, I don't know, in danger, and I feel responsible to defend it.
Okay. White Knight's got to take it easy over there.
Against the freaking FCC.
Let's get to this in 5-5.
Yeah.
Number one.
Thanks, Riz.
No problem.
After a packed day of wildcard MLB matchups, of the teams who lost the first wildcard game, who is just dead in the water?
Can't say it's Houston after what we're seeing right now in this tie game right here. But I think the easy one is the Brewers. Not only because of what they did yesterday and, you know, starting out pretty well, back and forth, seesaw type of game until about the fifth inning. But Pat Murphy showed his inexperience, the manager of the Milwaukee Brewers. Pulled Peralta a little early, a little bit of a fire sale over there after three runs allowed. He settled down after that second inning and retired, I believe, like 7 or 8 straight. Then they pull him. And the second they pull him, the floodgates open. The Mets get a 5-run fifth inning. Let Peralta go more. Don't put too much stock in the bullpen that early in the game. Peralta's your best starter. And now, all of a sudden, now instead of going, they can't go Rhea, but instead of going Myers, their rookie, they're going Frankie Montas. And I've played that experience before at the mound for game two. Montas is terrible. He was terrible in Oakland, and he was even worse in New York. That is not the guy I want to save my season over at American Family Field against the Mets today. I think the Brewers are dead in the water.
For me, it's the Braves. I didn't like what I saw from the Braves in that Mets series on Monday. You don't have Chris Sale for this series. You got bamboozled last night. Let's call it for what it is, right? You got bamboozled in that game by the Padres. I'm not a Joe Musgrove guy, but Musgrove has playoff experience, and that's who's going tonight for the Padres.
They do have Fried, and Fried's good, so it's a good matchup.
Fried, you know, the sub 3.25 ERA, 166 Ks on the year. I don't know, Colin, I don't believe they're going to put up runs tonight. So I got the Padres again, like 3-1, 4-1 in this ballgame coming up tonight, and I think this one's a wrap. I think the Braves, no pun intended here, I think the Braves were brave all year long in the way that they fought. Acuna gets hurt. Spencer Strider gets hurt. You're down your two best players, and you're still able to have a good year, and you're still able to make the playoffs. Nothing to hang your hat about, but I got the Braves as being the team out, and it looks like Detroit just busted this thing wide open.
Abanez won, fires down the left field line. Two RBI triple.
Yeah, it's a base clearing triple. It's a base clearing triple for Ibanez.
That's 5-2 ball game, top eight. Ibanez right down the gap.
Quickly on this too. I'm not a Hader guy. I think Hader's a little passive. It seemed like ever since he put on that Astro uniform, things have kind of just went sour. You know, Craig Council threw a fit when the Brewers got rid of Hader and then didn't buy anybody and they bowed out 2 years ago at the deadline. But Hader's been, he's not been the Josh Hader we knew since going to the Astros. And I mean, my God, you get brought in for one batter. And the worst case scenario is a grand slam,
magic,
Colin.
Magic theme. That's what the Tigers have. Magic theme. 5-2 ball game, top eight, a 3-run RBI triple by Ibanez.
One more thing for me. They're only there because they beat the White Sox 12 times, right? Yeah. Can we put that to bed? Thank you.
Well, statistically, they are. They were 500 against the rest of the field.
They're only there because of the White Sox, apparently. Well,
statistically, you're for some reason not looking at the statistics.
You play who's on your schedule.
I don't disagree. But you just said they won because they were great against White Sox. That is statistically true.
I hate the whining from Red Sox fans and miserable AL East fans.
Looks like the Astros getting out of that inning. We're going to see a jam-packed bottom of the eighth. Detroit with a 5-2 lead in that one. As for what you said about the Atlanta, I think they're walking and hobbled. So, yeah, of course, they're behind the eight ball, but they're winners, and they know how to win. So
you got them tonight?
That is dangerous. I think Padres are dangerous, but I'm not a Musgrove guy either. I could see the Braves bouncing back tonight because they know how to win. October winners is a valuable asset. Maybe they're out of gas. Maybe you're going to see them get wiped out tonight. But I think the Brewers are the real one that are out in deep water and shark-infested waters at the Mets playing as well as they are. Number two.
With Devontae Adams forcing his way out of Vegas, is Devontae Adams still among the elite, and is it worth it to pay elite money for receivers?
So after the 5-5, we're going to draft the 1A receivers. 1A, it depends how many guys you put there. If you're putting 5 there, I would not put Devontae there. I'd put him at a 1B. But if you're going to put top 10 there, I think Devontae would probably hang around.
Agreed with everything you said there. It's reminiscent a little bit to when Odell was trying to force himself out of New York. A lot of people in New York didn't feel like Odell was the receiver he was, you know, from years past. Now, a lot of that had to do with injuries. And I know Adams, pretty healthy guy at heart. Colin, you had the stats earlier. 5 out of the last 6 years catching 100 balls.
He's got the stats.
I just think of the sheer talent at the position with Jefferson, Lamb, Chase, Brown, whoever you want to put there. I don't think he is. And I think a lot of it has to do with age. Now, in his prime, I think he was there. I think in his prime with Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, it's a shame they weren't able to win a Super Bowl. But
he was probably the best receiver in the league for 2 or 3 years.
Even with those guys in the league, like I would probably argue JJ. I think JJ is one of the best we've seen maybe since Megatron. But I don't put him in that 1A anymore. I did about 3-4 years ago. Not so much anymore. I know the statistics are there. Let's see if he could get with a good quarterback, if he could get back to that. I don't right now, though.
Number three.
Well, talking baseball, the Marlins have officially cleaned house. Clubhouse attendance, travel secretary for performance staff, and coaching staff members being fired. Who's the biggest mess in the free state of Florida? The Dolphins, Florida State, Florida Gators football, or the Marlins?
This is interesting.
Say those teams again for me.
It is such a disaster.
One more time for everyone.
We've got the Finns, the Florida State Seminoles football team, the Florida Gators football team, and the Miami baseball Marlins.
Thanks, brother.
This is going to be on social at ESPN West Palm on X. Who's in biggest free fall? Who's in the biggest crap storm amongst those four? Seacat, I want to get your answer to this as well. The Marlins are an easy answer because they just fire-sailed everybody. But in terms of turning it around, they have a lot of prospects. They have young talent. I think they're more equipped than people think.
Agreed.
For a 2-ish year turnaround, those college football teams are in a lot of trouble. Florida is in a lot of trouble. Florida is going to be getting beaten down and pounded. They have a big brand, I get that, but they're going to be getting pounded for the next couple of years, and Florida State is not any better. They are not attracting any prospects. I think both those teams could tie, but I'd give it the edge because the coach is going to be out eventually to Florida.
As being the worst situation right now is the Florida Gators?
Yeah.
I feel like college, though, is turnover. So, like, the kids that suck now might not
That's
be
true,
there.
That's true, but I think what's happening now will impact who they get. It's not necessarily like they have the prospects coming through the system and everything like that. Like, the Marlins dealt with injuries. Yuri Perez didn't even get to start basically the entire year. He's their big pitcher. So I think that with the right management and a couple young prospects, they were in the postseason last year. So to me, it's quicker to turn it around comparatively to a turnover facelift in college football.
I'm with you. It's the Gators, and it's not even close. Now, Florida State might be in a heap of trouble, though. If Mike Norvell isn't the answer at Florida State, this is Willie Taggart all over again.
He's safe, though. He's safe.
He is, but I will say this. Florida State had success with Norvell, right? The 2 years prior to this were things, you know, you could hold your head high on if you're a Florida State fan. I know last year was a nightmare, and I could argue everything that happened last year is the reason they're this year. But I think a lot of it has to do with Florida State screwing themselves over rather than the College Football Playoff Committee. And Colin, we've agreed on this before. Florida State focused on all the wrong things this offseason. They focused on getting more money from the ACC. They focused on, woe is me, we're the darling of college football. You left us out. Screw you guys. Instead of improving the team for this year, they did a lazy move in adding DJU. And I'm sorry, that's how I feel on this situation. It was a lazy move adding DJU. And they're paying for it. The Marlins, I'm with Colin. I don't want to say it's easier to turn things around in baseball because look at how much of a mess the White Sox are. But the White Sox don't have the farm system that the Marlins do. And fair play. You want to know where it's a fair play for the Marlins? They knew they were done after game 10. They traded Louis Arraez, and they basically probably told Skit Schumacher, hey, dude, you're not the answer. We're going to fire you at the end of the year,
yeah,
but we're
going to
ride this thing out.
I think they had a mutual. I could get a better job. And
right.
If they want to fire everybody, save me the due diligence.
Exactly.
Well, that's not going to change anything about the Marlins and not paying free agents.
Yeah.
So that's never going to change.
Hang on.
They're not the only team that doesn't pay.
And I was about to say that. In baseball, I mean, Detroit, who's their highest player? Austin Meadows right now? The guy who hit the home run today. So, like, in baseball, you can work. You do. You can work around your cap in baseball. Look at my Guardians. I mean, Jose Ramirez, if he didn't take a hometown discount, he wouldn't have been there. It's no doubt the Florida Gators. And I'm sorry I went on this long tangent. Will Muschamp, help me out with this. Jim McElwain, am I saying that right?
McElwain, yeah.
Will Muschamp, Jim McElwain, Dan Mullen, Billy Napier. Those are the coaches since Urban Meyer. They have been a nightmare since 2011. They play in the swamp, and it's not a coincidence that that program is mud. Ever since Uncle Herb left, they've been a nightmare. They've been crying, oh, Urban left for Ohio State, screw you. They've been crying that for years. That program is done, and honest to God, I know I sound sour right now, but I'm happy to see them done. I don't mind Florida State.
They've been done,
and I love it.
Ever since Trask.
I love seeing that program disgusted and in the mud and a disgrace, even though they do have pretty cool jerseys.
You don't seem to be on the same page as us, CK.
It's Florida. It's the Gators. It's not even a question. For 11 years, 13 years it's been
ownership's
like
a problem in the Marlins, but ownership's not the only problem. Like, they were in the postseason.
That's not my answer. My answer is the Dolphins.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. I think the Dolphins are the biggest mess right now because they just committed to looks like it was clock struck midnight for Mike McDaniel in that feel-good story about how his antics and his mannerisms and his quirkiness ain't so cute when you're losing football games, and it ain't so cute when you got to piece together wins when you don't have your quarterback. You hired the coach because that was the only compatible fit to the quarterback. You take away the quarterback, the coach, what's he worth at all? I think the Dolphins have tied themselves to a sinking ship, and it's going to be quite some time before they turn it around.
I don't disagree with that. Number three. Four.
Number three.
Four.
Number four. Number four.
We're 5 weeks in, and we talked about this yesterday on Theoretically Speaking. Who is your Heisman right now? Who is your favorite to win the Heisman? Because we've got a bunch of different options. One of them's not even in the Power Five. Who's your Heisman?
Ashton Panty. Yeah, I don't...
Can I start this off, brother? I think it's Jonte. I don't even think it's close at this point. 845 yards for Jonte. His over-under, you guys ready for this one? His over-under on rushing yards, his last game was a 175. He completely blew that out of the water and ran for 259 on 25 carries and four touchdowns. 259, four touchdowns against a 4-0, I guess Pac-12, Washington State team. It's Jonte for me. I don't even think it's close right now. Oregon, all right, we mentioned he's not Power 5. Listen to these numbers against Oregon. They should have won that game, by the way. Damn Ducks snuck by the skin of their teeth. 25 carries, 192 yards, three touchdowns, and a 70-yard touchdown run in the game. It's Ashton Jonte, and it's not even close.
I disagree with that. I think he's probably the leader. I don't think if I was a betting man, I would not do that. I would say this is Milroe to run away with if he wants to. Because of dual threat, of course, because he's probably on the most proven team right now in college football and in terms of what we've seen. And I think based on the schedule that they have and the opportunities that he is going to have to beat teams on a big stage, if he can do it, and he already has, But if he could do it in a big way, I think that he's very much in the play for that. Do you think Travis Hunter's in play for it?
No.
I disagree. I think he is.
Yeah.
I think very much. Heisman winner in like last somewhat years. 9+ wins is the number for Colorado to be in the mix.
I think they
might get that.
But I think he is the best football player in the country.
I think he's a little overrated. I do.
Overrated at what?
I think Travis Hunter is a little overrated in a sense.
What?
I just think the Dion and the Colorado and the glimmer and glamour. I think he's a little overrated. I don't think he's Heisman. I would take the quarterback or the running back over him. Jonte has 13 touchdowns. We're in week six.
Hold on. You're talking about 13 touchdowns, impressive, yes, but this is a guy who has interceptions, receiving touchdowns as well. He had 90 yards and a touchdown and a pick in one game. It's Big 12, too. It's a walk in the park.
I don't rate the Big 12, Sam.
Right,
I wish they were
Boise
better.
State, Boise State's great. So that's the
Portland
problem.
State's a tough competition.
Listen, Travis Hunter's a fantastic player. This isn't me sitting here going, oh, he's horrible. He's bad. I just think it's a bit overrated and a bit of the Colorado bias.
Well, we haven't seen it bias. We haven't seen it before. Jabril Peppers maybe a little bit, but he was more utility.
Sure. I question, what will he play in the NFL? Is he going to play both sides?
I think he'll play corner.
Like, I had to hear Pat Shurmur, and listen, Pat Shurmur, great guy. I dislike him as a football coach. He was a nightmare with the Browns. One of the worst we've ever had. When Pat Shurmur goes, I've told NFL teams this guy has the special sauce. Like, it's Pat Shurmur.
But he does have Pat Shurmur. I think he's a corner. He's probably a better corner at heart, but there's more money at the receiver position. Use him in emergency situations at DB, maybe, and draft him as a receiver if he wants that. But if he wants to go corner, then flip it. Use him as a corner and use him as a utility receiver when you need to.
And I love that he plays two positions. Like we said, we don't see this a lot. I want to reiterate this. I don't think Travis Hunter is a bad player. He's a first-round pick. He's going to be a top-five pick, okay? The whole Heisman thing is overrated to me. I don't think he's the Heisman Trophy winner. I don't rate that.
And he's averaging over 100 yards receiving per game. He's got 6 touchdowns on the season.
I rather go with the quarterback and the running back that has 845 yards on 82 carries and 13 touchdowns.
I agree. It's a wow number. But those numbers that C-Cat just gave are way more wow than what Janty's doing.
Sorry to cut you off, Kyle. I think also Colorado is a miserable football team. The Heisman Trophy winner.
They have one loss, Mike.
The Heisman Trophy winner has to be on a good team.
A 9-win team.
They have one loss for now. I mean, we did this last year with Colorado, and how many games did they win? I'm not sold on
Boulder. I agree, but Colorado was in a far worse situation than they were last year than they are this year. They're a better team this year than they were last year.
And I hate slandering the young man like this on the Heisman conversation. I do love – I like Dion a lot. Prime's amazing. I love the character he's created himself to be in college football. I think there's a lovely place for Prime in college football. I have to see them win first. And when you're a Heisman Trophy candidate, your team must be winning. You must be in the mix. I don't think Colorado's going to be in the mix.
Book closed and Carson Beck played pretty well in the second half. Lost to Alabama on the road.
No, because they got a lot of opportunities to make some noise.
They do. To Colin's point, if they go... I know my take on Georgia was... They haven't played an SEC road game in years of significance. I looked like a genius in the first half, and then Colin's point came into fruition in the second with Smart being able to outsmart DeBoer. But if he goes out and throws for 3 touchdowns in Austin and they get a win and he plays scratch football, he's right back in it. I just don't know if he's a first-round talent quarterback. Like a lot of...
Oh, he's going to be a first-round talent. He's going to be the first or 1-3 off the board in terms of quarterbacks. It's going to be him, yours, and probably Sanders, if I had to guess.
I just don't know. Like, we see... Like, it was... Should Bo Nix have been drafted in the first round? It's way too early to tell, but I think that's more of the need of a quarterback. I don't know if he's like a no-doubter first round. I think it's because of the position.
Colorado has a home game against Kansas State after their bye. So on October 12th, home game. Then they're at Arizona, home Cincinnati, at Texas Tech. That's not impossible.
And also, the one loss, Kyle, I mean, they were dead by rights against Baylor. Now, it's all about wins and losses. I understand that. But it was a little fluky.
But then they killed you at UCF. So there's that, too. Then they got Utah again at home, and they have Oklahoma State as the last game of the year at home. So it's a winnable schedule. They are very much in the mix to be in that Big 12 I don't think they're that great either, but they're in the mix because the Big 12 is wide open. They don't run into Jake Retzlaff and the BYU Cougars.
That's our guy, C-Cat.
That is our guy.
That's our guy.
Oh.
What are we on? The last one, number five.
Number five.
So I use this website called Reddit to find happy hour recommendations, restaurant recommendations, but I hear
very good for that.
Colin Russo uses Reddit for much more important recommendations now that he's new to the West Palm area. Where is the line? Because you got a haircut from someone he found on an anonymous website called Reddit.
I love that. I think that's great. I use Reddit for everything. I use Reddit for food recommendations. You could use it for places to go, speakeasy spots. If you're going to be going out and having a good time, if you want to travel somewhere, Reddit has everything.
Yeah.
It's real people experience. That's where I got my barber. I took a chance because it was. They said it was cheap and they said he was reliable. That is real person experience. That's where I got my barber. That's where I got my haircut. So now, I'm proud of that.
I'm not looking at it for barbers, but I do need a barber. I need a haircut. I look like Justin Bieber. But I use Reddit, the nerd that I am, that you guys know that I am. I use Reddit for like TV shows on stuff that goes over my head that I don't understand.
Easter eggs and such.
Yes. And also video games. It's amazing for that kind of stuff. And like open discussion boards on, like I'm playing EAFC 25 right now.
Are you involved in these?
No, I just look.
You peruse.
I peruse. Yeah, I'm a window shopper. But
it's great for food and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Very good for that.
And also, and I wanted to add that little tidbit for the nerd of, like, for instance, Lost. A lot of the times I get confused with what's going on with Lost. I've done a couple of watch-throughs. I look up on Reddit. They got answers for me.
Huh. I've started using Reddit for fantasy football commissioner questions because I am the commissioner of my league. It's about 6 years running strong now. And this dude is not paying up.
Like, give me an example. So what do they tell you? They just give you advice, like, here's how I get guys to pay in my league?
Yeah, so I laid out the entire situation. We have a last place scoring team punishment.
Oh, this is you who put this in?
Yeah.
And how many people responded?
Got about 25 responses.
Wow.
The thing is, about 20 of them were attacking me for the rules that I put in place. Oh. They were not giving me advice on how to fix this.
Okay. Yeah. They were making fun of you. Reddit's toxic. There's no doubt about that.
How I made the situation, the stipulation in my league, is the lowest score every week pays for the lunch of the highest score. And we just said, you know, that's $15. So if you score the least amount of points,
this week, money. This is a big investment, this league.
Not really. I mean, you're not going to be last place every week.
Well, if you're a bad team and you all of a sudden you have 6 weeks where you're the lowest scoring team, then you're out $90.
It's only 12 weeks of regular season. So everyone said that was dumb and I'm a bad commissioner and I should be fired.
Did anybody give you advice on what to do with guys not paying?
They said, got to ice him out. Freeze the roster. He can't add anybody. He can't drop anybody. He can't make any trades. He can't move anyone
in
his
lineup.
Here's the
problem. You want to know the problem with that? It's an advantage for people who are, you know, competing for playoffs. You know, say if someone gets frozen out, that's a free win that week.
So I'm helping others rather than just
hurting. You're helping others. Correct. You're helping others while at the same time, like, you're punishing the kid. Don't get me wrong. You're punishing the kid. You're giving him a loss. But you're also, say like, I need that guy to lose who that guy is playing, I'm going to be pissed because you're freezing out the lineup and that's a guaranteed win for that guy. You see what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, but the guy needs to pay. That's the bottom line, right?
It's $15 and he lost 2 weeks in a row. He can't spot $30.
Hold on,
the buy-in is $15, but you're doing the bottom
$15?
The loser of this week, every week you pay $15 to the highest score.
Oh, I thought you meant a guy didn't buy in the buy-in with the buy-in.
He hasn't done both.
What's the buy-in, if you don't mind me asking?
$100.
Yes.
All right, hang on. It's a $100 league, and if you're low man, you pay $15.
To the high man, yep.
I don't like that.
You're not in the league. You don't have to.
Here's the thing. Hear me out on this, too. Do you want free advice, and you don't have to go? And I know the Reddit advice is free. Just up the dollar amount, and at the end of the year, or actually just pull the money.
Yeah.
Pull the money from the pool each week and pay out the winner each week. That's how we do it in two quarterback league.
I think that's...
Wait. So you pay
you
the...
You up the ante. You up... So like it's $100. My two quarterback league is $100. But we pay an extra $25 for weekly points winners. And at the end of each week, our commissioner, Ryan Hartzell, takes that money out of the pool and gives it to the weekly winner that week.
He spreads it out.
He spreads it out. Yeah. He upped our thing by $25, to pay.
How much is it per week?
I can't.
So you haven't had it yet? Is that what?
No. I have, but it just gets in my Venmo. Maybe I'll look at my Venmo account because 2 weeks ago I was.
Unfortunately, we're going to speak to Fat Jack at FatJackSports.com.
Yeah. We need to call him. We need a Mac team, brother.
This is our guy. Slim Pickings. We're going to give him a Mac pick of the week. We're going to get some good insights into what the trends are on the gambling side of things, on the sports betting, sports book side of things. Next, we got Fat Jack coming in. It's Russo and Rizzo live here at ESPN 106.3.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Russo and Rizzo continuing on here. Detroit officially moves on to the divisional series. They win 5-2 over the Houston Astros. A good win for them. Three-run RBI triple by Ibanez that put them ahead there. Good for them. Good for Detroit. Mojo, magic. Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo, Christian Catt, of course, behind the glass. Joined now by the man himself, Fat Jack of FatJackSports.com. An early one this week, forcing us to maneuver our schedule. We had to cancel a couple other interviews. We had to, maneuver everything just so we could accommodate this man because he's traveling. Fat Jack, welcome into the program. How are you doing today?
Yeah, a couple things. Also, good news for my clients that had Detroit for free, so they won that early. And by the way, there's about three people in this country that win money betting on sports. And so me coming on with you, that's beneficial to both of us. I appreciate you having me on, but we're going to help people that right now heading into October are losing all of their money betting on sports. I mean, the NFL is killing the general public. And if they're losing on their own, my clients, everybody gets the same play. They're all posted and documented.
Fat Jack?
I'm going to try to go to the arsenal.
Yeah. There you go. No, I'm sorry. You cut out for a second.
You cut out a little bit there, partner.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm going to try to go to the Arsenal game. They're up another 12 units. So everybody's making money except for the general public is getting absolute hammered. We talk about a percentage of bets. At the 51% of the bets or more on one team so far this year are 22-38-2 against the spread. About 33%, if you're betting with the general public on Sunday, you're getting your teeth kicked in. My clients and I are not. It's definitely an important time if you're betting because you're probably at a fork in the road. You're probably losing on your own, most likely. It's time to get signed up. So I'm excited. Thank you guys for having me on Wednesday. I fly to London here over the next day or so, conflicts with the airlines. I couldn't make them adjust to our schedule.
Well, we're going to have to address the elephant in the room here, of course, as your Mac aficionados, Mike and I are. We lost this past week, Bowling Green, a terrible loss against Old Dominion. That was our first kink in the armor here. What's your takeaway on that? Did you watch any of that game?
I'm in first kink in the armor that I was on with you. Listen, we're walling around at 50% in the MAC. I'm going to wait on my judgment of your handicapping ability until we get deeper into the
Hold
season.
On. You're 2-1. Fat Jack, you're 2-1 with us, pal. You didn't take it week four.
Listen, you sound like the clients who call and say, just because I didn't hear it didn't happen. You're 2-2. I'm 2-1. You got dinner on me if you lose the rest of the year. Because I told you the first week I was betting you win, you get, we're going to dinner. That's happened. But your handicapping in the MAC is still TBD because as I've said, it's a very tough league to beat. There's a ton of turnovers. You guys seem to think you've got a special sauce because you went to school. I'm excited to see it, but definitely. Yeah. I mean, you're 2-2 overall, 2-1 with me. I get it. I mean, but it's a long way. I'm not judging you yet. 50% at this point in the MAC, I don't think it's horrible. So
all right.
Long way to go.
Well, Fat Jack, you ready to be in the green? You ready to get more in the green this week with the Mid-American Conference? You ready?
I'm so – this is like that girl that shows up at the party, and she comes in with bad lighting and bad dress. I'm ready to see the beauty in the MAC. So,
all right.
Yes.
All right, here we go.
Up with a winner.
Here we go. Here is your lock of the weekend with the MAC. And it comes on 3:30 Saturday. Miami travels to the Maumee River. And the Maumee River we trust in Toledo. Toledo lost a heartbreaker to Western Kentucky, a game that they already had won. But if it wasn't for a three-hour weather delay when they were up two scores, Fat Jack, they would have won that game and covered the spread. Miami are phonies. Okay, the Red Hawks are frauds. They beat UMass by 3 points. Let me say that again. They beat UMass by 3. Toledo had a bye last week. They're a 6.5-point favorite. We're going Toledo minus 6.5 at home in the Maumee River We Trust. Say it with me, Fat Jack. In the Maumee River We Trust. We got the thank you, C-Cat. We got the Toledo Rockets 6.5 for you at home against the Red Hawks.
All right, it's marked down. Yes, marked down. I'm going to watch it on the plane. Actually, no, on Saturday I'll already be in London, so I'll watch it at midnight, sweating out the Toledo Mud Hens. So excited about that and other games going on this weekend. So, yeah, listen, there's all sorts of spots to make money this weekend in college. That will not be on my card. I'll tell you, my clients right now that are getting signed up or already signed up at FatJackSports.com, that will not be on the list, but there are some spots. So, I mean, let's look at Michigan-Washington. There's a couple of these games that you've got ranked teams that are underdogs. So, you guys looked at that at all, or you want me to just tell you who I like?
Yeah, you start with that. I got a couple more games I want to throw at you, but you could start there. You clearly like this one. Go ahead.
I like it enough that I think the general public's going to grab on to the ranking, which is what they generally speaking do. And you've got to be careful. Anytime these teams are traveling like this, especially with the new conference, in particular the Big Ten, the travel will get you. Washington 20-1 straight up the last 21 home games. Michigan's in a little bit of trouble. We know offensively they're limited. I think they get exposed this week, so I do like Washington in that one. So who are you guys interested in?
Washington covering at home, that's an interesting one. Okay, I'm interested by that. Let me ask you this one. A team that's come out firing in the Big Ten, Indiana at Northwestern this weekend. Indiana, a 14-point favorite. Now, imagine that, an Indiana road 14-point favorite, but I think Indiana's very underrated. And they have an easier schedule other than the Michigan-Ohio State little scrunch. But other than that, they're not playing a lot of great teams. What's your takeaway on that?
Well, yeah, that's the deal. They've been succeeding, but how good are we? We got a few games like that this week where they've been winning, but who have they been beating? And I believe Indiana, there's still value. Them and UNLV both. There's going to be value with both of those teams until they beat a marquee. They win a marquee game. So, yeah, I like Indiana as well this week. There will be a couple that get exposed. But I don't know that they're that team. I don't know that UNLV's that team. I do think, you know, there's a really tough spots. Missouri. Missouri goes to Texas A&M. Missouri 5-0 against the spread. Their last five on the road, starting out well, but they're limited on what they do offensively. Texas A&M, we've seen that they've been on TV a ton this year, so I know most people have seen what they are. But that's a dangerous spot for them. Also, Tennessee going to Arkansas. Another one of those games that you've got the Vols that are just playing great right now. They go to Arkansas. Arkansas is dangerous. I mean, this is a team that went and beat Auburn, which is a good win, not a great win. They do lose in overtime to OSU. But Tennessee riding high right now. Arkansas 5-0 against the spread, their last five in the series. I think that this is one of those. And also, Tennessee's defense has faced the three of the worst offenses in the country. Three of the offenses they face, including Oklahoma, are 108th or worse. So those are a couple that I think, but I don't think Indiana's in that group. I don't think they're in that group. I don't think UNLV's in that group. I think they beat Syracuse. But watch those teams that have done it really, really easy, giving points, or in the case of Missouri, getting a couple points, against teams that, because they haven't played that many good teams yet. So I think Arkansas is a good spot for an underdog, and so is A&M.
Fat Jack, Clemson, you mentioned watch out for those ranked teams on the road. Is Clemson at Florida State one of those teams? Clemson's been able to kind of blow all of the lesser opponents out of the water that they faced recently. They beat Stanford 40-14, NC State 59-35, App State 66-20. DJU has a broken finger, not playing in this one. It's Clemson 14.5 on the road at Tallahassee. What do you think?
Yeah, my clients have gotten Clemson the last 2 weeks. They've been two of the easier wins. You mentioned against North Carolina State and then last week against Stanford. It really wasn't even that close. I mean, right. They gave up a late one to Stanford. They blow them. I said after the first game of the season that just if Clemson gets blown out by Georgia, it doesn't mean they're not any good. They're just not as good as Georgia. So, and that's okay because we're just trying to get them into the playoffs. We talked about this before, betting conference winners in both the Big 12 and the ACC. You don't bet them to win the conference. You bet them to win the national championship, and then you hedge them back once you get them in the tournament. I've got Utah in the Big 12 and Clemson in the ACC. Florida State is – they're so bad.
Terrible.
I mean, the number bothers me more than anything, honestly. I mean, if you just look at the talent, Florida State's been blown out by horrible football teams. I mean, this is not a good team. They're not playing well. I don't know how he saved the locker room. You've got athletes that wanted to play for national, that thought they were going to play for national championship. How do you get up against anybody when you're losing to the teams they're losing to? Clemson 8-1 straight up their last nine. This is a team that, going back to last year, is just taking care of business. It bothers me that it's only two touchdowns. I thought this thing might come 20 because I thought you're going to have to do that to get people to play a team like Florida State that just mentally has been horrible. They don't execute. It's been a horrible year for them. I don't know how they get it right against Clemson, but the number worries me a little bit. So I cannot play Florida State. I fell into that one time. I played them against Georgia Tech early in the year, the first game, and looked like a fool doing it. I'm not going back to that well again. So I'd lay the points to play Clemson, but I wouldn't bet the house on or anything stupid like that, because it is, the number should worry you a little bit if you're just a casual football fan, why this number's not higher.
Shifting to the NFL, you mentioned that the NFL is really gutting the public here because of the trends that need to be followed. And, of course, Fat Jack of FatJackSports.com joining us. What are some of the trends that you do like here? I know the underdog over 6 points has been a popular one that so far this year, but at this point, where do people even turn? It seems like everybody's getting killed everywhere they go.
Yeah, it's, well, we're not getting killed, and so you go to go to the website for sure. But I mean, honestly, when we are, I'll say, hey, we're getting killed right now. We're not. I mean, we're having a good year in the NFL for sure. Underdogs to 6 points or more, 14-2-1 against the spread this season. So I mean, every one of those underdogs, and the bigger underdogs are doing even better. 7 points or more, they're 5-1 straight up. So translation, if you're just betting the better team, you're getting your teeth kicked in. I'm not saying go out right now, find the biggest underdogs, and that's going to continue all year. What I am saying is, if you're just looking at the team and the name on the front of the jersey, you're going uphill anyway. You're going against the trend, so don't do that. Better spots, you take advantage of some general stuff going into buys, all right? Heading into the bye week, home favorites over the last 10 years are covering 65% of the time. All right, so Kansas City this week. Home underdogs, 64.5% of the time heading into their bye. The Rams, all right? So we look at teams like that we, for whatever reason, have some long-term success. And that's not the only thing. We're not going to blindly go up and bet a lot of money on those two based on that one trend. But narrowing down what you're starting with will help you have more success than not. And those are two places to start. Also, like under in the Kansas City-New Orleans game. Kansas City's offense, everybody knows, is so hurt, so depleted. They're very one-dimensional. But their defense right now not getting enough credit because of how headlines the offense is getting. New Orleans, we saw early in the year, and I talked about this last week, they were a fraud offensively as far as they're not going to put up that many points. Expect them to regress back toward the mean, and that's exactly what they're doing. They're looking more like the Derek Carr team that we thought they might be. So 42-43, people are going to love the over in that because you get, you know, Patrick Mahomes at a low 40s number. The reality is that look for this thing to stay under the total, go under in that one. Also, totals of 37 or more, those things are hitting the under at a huge, huge rate. 32-11, 74% since 2020 of totals 37 or lower. So these lower totals, sometimes you can't set the total low enough or high enough to get where it actually should be based on what production we should have. So teams, the Miami-New England game, we saw Monday what that was and what Miami's offense is. They are struggling, obviously, New England. We know they're not going to score a bunch of points. Now, you may run into what happened Monday, one of the worst beats of the weekend, where you get an onside, and then you get a bad onside kick. Now they're backing it up, and then they're running in late and get a fluke. But those type of bets, more times than not, are going to win you money. So totals under 37, look under. Las Vegas, Denver, look under, and, of course, that Miami-New England game.
Is it, Fat Jack, you mentioned a lot of trends here. You know, the bye week stuff, the teams heading into the bye. Is, you mentioned the public as well, how wrong the public has been, how they're getting their teeth kicked in. Is there any traps this weekend you want to kind of get out there to our listeners to stay away from?
Yeah, I think first of all, playing favorites is not a good idea right now in the NFL. There's so much parity, but teams like the Bears, all right? I don't know how you jump on Carolina, even with the Red Rocket, and you say this team's going to do anything. You know what I mean? This is not a Carolina team that consistently you're going to expect to show up. But Chicago, and I had over the total last week with the Bears, and they got there. But it was based on about three plays. They had a long run, a short field or so. And so teams like that where you're playing against a really, really bad team, and the numbers are not that high. So be careful of loading up on the Bears. Be careful loading up on Seattle. Another one, the Giants. Secondary is horrible. Seattle 6-1 against the spread, their last seven in the series. Anywhere in here is good, sorry. Those type of teams, that's exactly what the general public's been losing with. Just betting the best team, especially when you get these low numbers too, you're going to have a lot of money on one side or the other. So I would be careful of both of those. Those are your two trap games of the week, are certainly the Giants and Carolina are probably good places to look.
Last thing before we let you go here, Fat Jack, that Viking-Jet game, London games, is there any trend alongside that? Vikings 2.5-point favorites in that one, an early kickoff on NFL Network, 9:30 a.m. on Sunday. What's your takeaway on that? Are the Jets due for a little bit of a bounce back? Is Minnesota going to keep up the heat? What do you take on that one?
Yeah, I'm going to be at that game. And generally speaking, you want favorites overseas. All right. Generally speaking, they not only win, but they cover overseas. And so you would look Minnesota in that spot. But I mean, are we ready to put all of our faith in the Minnesota's quarterback and then their offense playing against them simply because there's going to be some regression. This is one of the only undefeated teams in the league, and they're overrated at this point. You would think long term. Are we going to be surprised if they lose three of their next six? So there's a little value with the Jets there. The travel always worries me in this game, and a lot of times when you're playing the favorite, you're playing against Jacksonville, so there is some. You're playing against what's generally been a bad team because they do get two of these games coming up over the next month or so over in London. But the adjustment when they go over, all those things are important. I would lean Jets in that one. Also lean under. I mean, you've got an offense in Minnesota that's been putting up respectable points for sure against mediocre to bad defenses. It's going to come down a little bit with that Jets defense. And Aaron Rodgers and company, I mean, I think that he's going to throw for some yards. He's gone over his yardage total the last 2 weeks, but expect Minnesota's defense to keep the ball, try to play keep away from that Jets offense. So, fewest mistakes wins that one. Lean toward the Jets and lean toward the under.
Appreciate you joining us today. As always, Fat Jack, safe travels. Enjoy the games this weekend. We'll talk next week.
Guys, sorry for the cluster. Have a great weekend. I'll see you soon.
Thank you, Fat Jack.
Fat Jack at FatJackSports.com. Go check it out for the best gambling advice or sportsbook advice, in the area. We close out the program next. We do a quick little wide receiver draft. Next is Russo and Rizzo live here at ESPN 106.3.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
There's no better way to start your day or to finish your day or in the middle of your day than to get a good sweat in at F45. You do exactly that. Group setting training over here in West Palm Beach, in Palm Beach Gardens in Wellington as well. But I'm always at the one in West Palm Beach downtown. I'm telling you, F45 is the place to be for a great workout. I go right in the morning at 6:30, 7:30. Classes every hour, coach specific training. Group setting, it's a social hour. You meet a lot of people there. I swear, F45 is the best. It's hybrid workouts. They got resistance workouts, cardio workouts in a big setting like this. I'm telling you, go to F45 West Palm Beach. Go to F45 in Wellington. You're going to enjoy it. You're going to get a good sweat in. It's a great workout, great way to get in shape, great way to stay in shape, and a great way to meet people. That's what I do. Just moved to the area. It's been a great way to acclimate with the community, get a sense for a lot of people that are like-minded, fitness-minded individuals. Find that at F45. You don't need to be any sort of pro. You don't need to be any sort of expert in the level of fitness. You just have to go and give it a shot. Accommodate everybody, every type of workout. F45 West Palm Beach. Go check it out. Russo and Rizzo live here, ESPN 106.3. See Cat behind the glass. You want to do a quick draft here, Mike?
Let's do it, brother.
All right, so you'll start, and I'll go second. How's that? All right, so you're going to get the first pick. I'll get the second and third, so on and so forth. Let's go to four total receivers.
Okay, so I'll go with Justin Jefferson. I think this is a no-brainer for me. I'm going Justin Jefferson, number one. I know I said earlier in the show, 4 years ago, Devontae Adams probably would be number one. Even with all these stud receivers like Jefferson, Lamb, and Chase in the NFL, I think Jefferson is probably the only exception. Colin, I think this guy is incredible. When he's on the field, he's such a weapon. How about him and Sam Darnold this year? They've been one of the best duos so far in the NFL. Jefferson, 5 touchdowns, 258 yards on the year already. I know guys like Collins, Neighbors, Metcalf, and Jennings have been a little better with yards and whatnot, but Jefferson's 1A for me.
I'm going to go Lamb, and I'm going to go Hill. CeeDee Lamb, Tyreek Hill. In terms of receivers, guys I'd want on my team, the speed factor is a threat, and CeeDee Lamb does a little bit of everything. I'll take those guys. Availability is the best type of thing. It doesn't matter about this. I'm taking if I'm building a team, those are two guys I'd go after. CeeDee Lamb, Tyreek Hill are my two picks.
Gosh, you gave me all the LSU boys. Give me Ja'Marr Chase. You know, I think Chase, when fully healthy, and I know you just said, you know, availability is the best availability. I totally agree with you, partner. But when this guy is healthy, I think he's on the level of Jefferson. I think a lot with this year, you know, we saw, what was it, C-Cat? The 70-yard touchdown, 60-yard touchdown he had on Sunday. I can't remember how long it was. But we saw that big play from Chase to get them their first win of the year against the Panthers. That's the kind of guy he is. And I think it took him a little bit this year to figure it out, Kyle, because of not being around. But give me Chase.
All righty. So you got another pick right there. You got back-to-back.
I'm going to go Malik Nabers.
Wow.
I'm going to go all the LSU boys.
This is the Caleb Williams pick all over again.
I'm going to go Malik Nabers.
That's entirely too early. Oh, my God.
Probably. But 386 yards and 3 touchdowns early on in his career with Daniel Jones throwing him the ball. Look out.
I mean, this is just like you're building a team. You're going to have the Nabers that early?
Okay. I'll go Nabers. I'll go the 3 LSU boys. Wow. Don't tell Marvin Harrison Jr.
So we'll go 5 each, okay? Does that make sense?
It does.
5 each.
It does.
I'm going to go A.J. Brown. Availability is best availability. I am worried about that hamstring generally, but when he's available, he's a big-bodied receiver, outside guy, can play anywhere. I'm going him. I'm going to go my man, Cooper Kupp. Give me Kupp here. Ultimate slot guy, possession receiver. I think when he's healthy, he's the best. Yeah, route running, hands, reliable, after the catch, good enough blocker, Cooper Kupp.
All right. I get 2?
Yes.
I'm on Ross St. Brown.
Thank you.
No problem. I should have taken him 3, but
I think he's overrated.
I wanted to keep the what's our thing for the show? Theme. Mojo. I wanted to keep with the LSU stuff. I'll go Amon Ra, and then for my last pick, Colin, this is probably my toughest one. I'm going to go with DK Metcalf.
Wow. I'm finishing it off with Mr. Iron Man himself, Mike Evans.
A couple of grandpas in that squad.
Grandpa's a guy who has played every year, ultra reliable, postseason performer, has won, plays through everything, big time possession receiver in the red zone. Mike Evans is a Hall of Famer and one of the most underrated careers at the NFL I've seen in a long time. Give me Mike Evans there.
Advantage, Rizzo. Mike, you won this round.
Thank you, brother.
Because the neighbor's in there?
No. I'm sick.
Chase, I think Justin Jefferson is the best receiver in football. He's right. And Amon-Ra St. Brown, most productive receiver in football.
I mean, you're ranking these 1 through 10. If you're ranking these 1 through 10, I think Metcalf is sitting steady at 9 and Nabers is at 10. But that's just my opinion. Russo and Rizzo live here, ESPN 106.3, sending you off into Thursday. Have a good one.